Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
If you want to run uncut, yeah. Unapologetic from the jump, yeah. And no politics in this club, just dirt from the streets and the cliques in the mud. Tech 12, best podcast for the Seahawks, number one sports talk, yeah, we got it on live. Tech 12, every episode 12 hot takes, and we reppin' for Seattle, my place. Tech 12.
It's the Tech 12 podcast. Thanks for checking it out. Boy, on this episode, we talk about the first weekend of the playoffs. Playoffs? What else did we get into, Lofa? Oh, well, the University of Washington hired a coach.
Visors. Big visor day.
The visors. Big day for visors. Yeah. Yeah. There's video footage of me in a talent show pretending to be in a boy band, and the visor is upside down. Remember that move?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was, I think, the last time I wore a visor. You guys will find out if Lofa's a visor guy, and you'll definitely find out my thoughts on visors. We got into it. And then also just sort of the games from the weekend, what we thought, what we saw, some of the big coaching changes out there, what we thought, what we saw, and all of that we'll get into very shortly. After I tell you about Wiener Schnitzel, two locations in Western Wa-Uella. Slow down. Take it easy. I'm just starting to think about the chili dogs is all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two extra locations. Oh, what?
Extra onions.
Ooh, pro tip.
And a smattering of cheese.
Oh, the cheese. Yeah. That yellow cheese. Mm. Wiener Schnitzel, everybody. Everett and in Fife. Go on in for lunch today. Go in for dinner, whatever. Pick it up for the whole crew. They got their $3 meal deals, and of course, there's the chili dogs, the chili burgers, the ice cream. Oh. You know what you do? You go and you pick up food for everybody, then you get the ice cream for yourself. Enjoy the ice cream as you make the drive, you know, or whatever. As you. Oh, sorry, I nodded off there. Yeah, Wiener Schnitzel, everybody. Mention the Take 12 podcast, get a free hot dog with any other purchase, and mention the hockey show, get a free ice cream cone with any other purchase, so you can be covered all the way around. Without further ado, though, here is our conversation. And let's just, here we go. So Lofa, I mean, to be perfectly honest, oh God, dude, where do I even start? All right, dude, everybody listening, Katie,
shoot from the heart,
Carly, man. Everybody, here you go, right? I'm going to shoot from the heart. Quite possibly the worst, other than the Sonics leaving, other than the Sonics, the day the Sonics left town officially, the rainiest, gloomiest, worst day in Seattle so far. But last week was like just, I mean, I don't want to say the worst, because who knows? Good times could be right around the corner, but also just... What? And then you know what else? As I was watching the Detroit Lions beat the Rams, I thought, F Detroit, because they're just having a great time right now. And what the, like, you know what I mean? Like, the worst week in Seattle, the greatest week in Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, they win the Natty, and then the Lions win a playoff game. Guys don't even know how to high-five each other in the stadium because they've never won anything.
I saw that one.
Fans were like, they didn't know. Should they fist bump? Should they high-five? How do you high-five? Anyone want to high-five? They all don't recognize each other as fans because they're all used to having paper bags on their heads at Lions games. Anyway.
What was it, 30-something years?
Oh,
they put the stat up there.
So Washington.
32.
Oh, good. McNeil's here. McNeil.
The voice of reason.
McNasty. So Washington hires the guy from Arizona, right?
He's really tan.
Dude, I gotta tell you, Lofa.
Yeah, it is the desert, McNeil.
He's gonna be a pale in a year, and I'm like gonna not recognize him.
Listen, guys.
Fish was here with the Hawks. I played for Fish. He's a good man, good coach, and he turned that program around.
He looks like a cool guy.
I'm excited. Oh boy. I'm glad they hired someone. I don't know much about him other than, you know, Arizona did have a really good season this year, and he wears a visor. And you're not supposed to judge a book by his cover, but a visor is a cover that I really don't like. I got to tell you. There's something about a coach
Kirby
and a visor.
Kirby Smart's a big visor guy.
I know he is. And it's my least favorite thing about him, though. You know?
What's with you? You look at your hair. You wouldn't hide that hair under a fucking hat.
Dude,
You'd be a total visor guy.
I am so anti-visor, you have no idea. I make fun of guys on golf courses that wear visors. I can't stand a visor, dude. I don't want to look at a UW visor. I'm really not looking forward to a visor, but I'm looking forward to wins, McNeil. I'll take the wins, but the visor... If he starts doing well, we're going to need a t-shirt, McNeil.
Or visors.
Or yeah. Visors. A visor.
I'll start wearing visors. Shoot.
I will. Hey, listen, you guys know that ultimately all I'm rooting for are wins, so that's fine. But just really when I saw the first picture of him, I thought, oh, no, he's a visor guy. Oh, no.
Loaf is right. You should be a visor guy.
I'm surprised Loaf is such a visor guy. I'm surprised he's a visor guy.
I don't have hair.
I see. Okay.
You have to have hair to rock the visor.
But you should be a visor guy.
No, yeah, see, the fact that you even say I should be a visor guy makes me hate visors even more.
You should be a visor guy.
No, I never want to be a visor guy.
Producer Katie's right. I imagine you rocking a visor at those little league games.
This is so mean. You guys are so mean. No, I don't want to be a visor guy.
We need to talk to Pfizer and make some Pfizer visors.
Oh, McNasty.
Nah, yeah, you just lost us with that one. Go back on mute, McNasty. We'll call you when we need you.
I'm excited because, you know, hey, all right, we need a good coach. He seems like a good coach. And I'm teasing about the visor, sort of.
He turned that program around in Arizona, man. Yeah. It's hard to win down there. It's hard, you know, to get recruits to Tucson. Mm-hmm. And 1-10, you know, everybody wanted to get rid of him at 1-10 down in Arizona. Turns around, goes 5-7. Turns around, has their first 10-win season since – what, the Desert Swarm defense back in the 90s. He turned it around down there. And I feel like, kind of like what I was saying with Chris Peterson when he got the UW job. How is nobody, you know, taking a harder look at this guy and giving him a chance? Because Peterson, had he left Boise, you know, probably 8-10 years before, I bet you he wins a couple titles.
Man,
I was shocked when Peterson hung him up, you know?
Are you comparing this guy to Peterson? Because if you are, sign me up. Those were good years.
No, I don't know Chris Pete.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Right.
I met him one time at a pro day. Great. Seems like a great dude.
Well, but okay.
Great about his players.
But you do know Fish, so.
I know Fish,
Tell us about him then.
He's charismatic. He's got a lot of energy.
Okay.
You know, he's a great football mind.
Okay.
And he cares about his guys. And I think if you watched any of Arizona's games, I mean, especially you probably watched the UW one, he gave them all they can handle.
Oh, yeah. And that wins, the UW win over them started to look better and better as the season went along.
He started a freshman, Fafita, against us and took us to overtime in the Collie and was one play away from even coming out of there with a win.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Against, you know, Caleb and our team. It was. If that kid, and I know, I think it's Delora was the starting quarterback. He was a captain, great quarterback. You know, for you not to go back to him, that tells you, you know, that's a tough decision to make. That's, you know, so when I look at decision making for the betterment of the team, you know, I thought they, you know, in the bowl game with Oklahoma, they might go back after like the rough second, third quarter and kind of have a storybook ending with Delora, but he stuck with Fafita and they pulled out the win. You know, that's a tough decision to make. And so I think he's ready for this opportunity to be the UW coach.
Well, and so he's been up here before. He was with the Seahawks.
Yeah, and 9 and 10, I believe.
Well, so then he's been in the area before. I mean, like, is he a guy who you think is going to stay for a bit? Because you got to have a guy who wants to be here for more than 2 years, don't you?
Yeah, and I think that was, you know, DeBoer coached Alabama. Like, you can't fault a guy for, like, having that dream job and opportunity and seizing it, going after it. But I don't think Fish would just, you know, 2 years and take off. And I, you know, I know he was only at Arizona 3 years, but this is the game.
This is how it goes, man.
You have to strike while you're hot and get the opportunities and then make the most of them. And,
man, you know
coaching's just as cutthroat as playing, bro.
Yeah, but Lofa, I mean, come on. Like, coaching, you know, Kalen, I know he's not a dog. He didn't go there. He's not an alum or anything. But coaching at UW on that campus with that amount, with that money, with that stadium, how is that not a dream job for a lot? I mean, dude, you know, you give me that job right now, you give me $4.5 million a year for the next 38 years. Like, you know what I mean? I would never leave. But, right? But, I mean, obviously we know why. But at the same time, I mean, big-time college football right now is big-time college football everywhere. And with 12 teams getting in the tourney, does it really matter where you are anymore as long as you can get the kids to come there?
No, not as much as it used to. Mm-hmm. Like, in order to get the marquee players, you had to be at a USC, an Alabama, all, you know, anywhere in the SEC. The talent pool is so great in the South for football. And, you know, you see kids from Texas and Florida and all, that's where they pull from, because Texas is a way of life. It's not just a sport in those states, you know? And we got a couple guys, you know, back in our day from Florida, Texas, that were big time players in LA. And so I think it's an easier route to get the talent, you know, rather than fly all the way down there and then try to, hey, yeah, come on up to Seattle.
But why not just, well, yeah, that's true. But I'm just saying, for these guys in general, it could be at UW or any program in the country. They, like, even USC now they don't keep guys for very long. And if you look at the teams that have had the most success forever, isn't it the ones where the coach has been there forever? Saban, now Kirby's been there for a while, the aforementioned Kirby. But then before him, Rick was there forever and had a ton of success. Obviously, Don James was at UW forever. But you have to be there for a while to have success.
Well, yeah. Look at Jimbo Fisher. You know, he was in the national title, won the national title with the Seminoles, and, you know, consistently in the top five, top 10, and then he takes off to go to A&M, and he's not even there anymore. And so, yes, you can win anywhere if you're a coach, a good coach that builds that culture, but there's just some places that make it a lot easier with the resources and, like, the help in terms of, like, everybody is all in. You know, like, when Pete got to SC, I'm not so sure the administration, everybody cared about football. He made them care.
Yeah.
Like, at one point we were good, you know, 70s, 80s, a couple times in the 90s. Pete brought that shit back together. And, like, that's, you know, it is a football school.
Yeah.
And it's known for that. And that's why it's so tough to see it, you know, up and down.
It's
up
just
and
weird
down,
that people don't want to, they don't seemingly want to be Mike Krzyzewski. Or Bobby Knight, or Nick Saban, for that matter. Like, why not? To me, it just feels like if I found a job that I'm winning at, I'm successful at, I'm at a big-time program, I just hear the way that ESPN talks about any of these things is they go, oh, well, you know, they're trading this program to really move up to this program. Like, I don't know. With 12 teams in, I feel like they're all pretty much just depends on what. Because, like, they support football at UW. You know,
they do.
It's a big-time program. Like, I don't...
Well, they do now.
Yeah.
Have they always? Have they always?
The reports, I've heard that they were willing to go north of $10 million a year for him. That wasn't enough? I mean,
no,
you know, it's crazy, man. Like, I don't know. Sports is weird right now to me.
Yeah, but what we're talking about is a legacy, you know, in regards
potentially.
To...
Potentially. Dude, come on. Hold on, real quick.
Money aside. Yeah, go ahead.
Look, I love DeBoer. Obviously, I'd take him at Washington for the next 20 years with what he was already building there because we had seen what's happening, right? Right? But yeah. We were texting, dude, those two Oregon games, run the ball. Like, the Texas game, you do that at Alabama in year one, you might be out of a job in year two already. Like, I mean, be careful what you wish for is all I'm saying. He's a good coach, but that's a completely different thing down there in that part of the country and what you're dealing with football down there.
Absolutely. And all I'm saying, the other side of it is if I was a successful coach, 1AA, FCS, smaller division one, and USC came knocking, it wouldn't be about the money. Mm-hmm. It would be about that I played there.
Yeah.
You know, like I bled on that field, man. You damn right I'm going back for the opportunity to lead them to a fucking championship.
Of course. And then if, but then, right. Well, and again, he's not an alum, but like, but then would you move on to an SEC school just because it's an SEC school after that? Just because you had success at, I mean, of course not, you're an alum, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's different for you.
It's the ties.
I don't get it, man.
It's the ties. That's all I'm saying. It's the ties. It's nothing personal. It's just business.
I know.
And this is the business side of the game that he had an opportunity to go where he's coached before and lead a team that he's always loved.
Great.
And so that's how I see it, man. It's nothing personal. It doesn't hurt. Hell yeah, it hurts, man. But this is the business.
I feel bad for the players. I feel bad for the players that are, you know, the ones that are, that you know, they, dude, I bet you after that game, they were in the locker room, obviously disappointed, but the ones who are coming back are thinking, okay, but, you know, we got coach and hey, like we're building something here and it's, you know, you could take us inside that locker room. I mean, that's got to just be deflating. I heard only, you know, like a quarter of the team even showed up to his meeting that he had with them.
Yeah.
So
if I'm a young guy, it's gut wrenching, man. It hurts your heart. Like, you know, I committed to this school because of you, you know?
Well, yeah. And now they got to hit the transfer portal, move, pack up their stuff potentially.
The
I mean, what a
it's
nightmare.
It's not as bad as it used to be though. No, well, that's why it's not as bad as it used to be is because you have the portal available.
Yeah, that's true.
But this is reality. And this is what a lot of kids, you know, they don't understand, you know, as soon as you sign that letter of intent, this isn't the game that you used to know, man.
Like, but isn't it? It's a reality because there's no loyalty, though, which just feels gross. I know it's always been this way. It just they did a better job of hiding it from the fans, you know? It's like...
No, I hear you in that regard.
Once you can see the wires in the action movie, it's not as fun anymore. That's all I'm saying.
Not as thrilling?
Yeah. It's gross, you know? They should hire Mario Bailey or Marcus Tuiasosopo. Yeah. Or Brock Huer, or you know, I mean, I give Fish a chance. Obviously, hope he does well. But I'm, you know, there's nothing. You said he lived in Seattle before. That's about all I can figure out that might time to the area. I feel like if you want someone who's going to come in and build a program and be the next Don James or Nick Saban, you got to get someone who has a old Letterman jacket from there, don't you? It's weird.
Perhaps.
Excuse me. Oh, Mark Brunell.
Mark Brunell, he was a beast. Yeah. Played him in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see what happens. But, I mean, DeBoer, he left it in a good place.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see how many players stay because that's, you know, and then how many – there's going to be a bunch coming up from Arizona. And Arizona's pretty damn good. So, anyway, I mean, we're all going to the Big Ten anyways. Like, who the fuck knows what's going to happen?
That's kind of what I'm saying. You know?
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen?
I don't get
We're
this.
We're not even
whole
the
thing.
Pack anymore.
The whole thing doesn't make sense. I was trying to explain it to a friend of mine who's not really a sports fan over the weekend, actually. He's like, I don't understand. Who's in the pack anymore? And I said, two schools. He's like, what? I said, I don't get it either.
And Washington State will still find a way to lose it.
Rude. Rude, but funny.
Cooked.
You guys.
There he is.
Hey, how about Delta Airlines? I don't have a good segue, but Delta.com is the only airline we use around here, and you guys should use them. You can sign up for 12 status and get ready for next season. I'm sure they'll have it, and you'll get a yard or a mile for every yard the Seahawks throw for. And that brings me to a nice Seahawks transition, actually, Lofa, because who do you think will be playing quarterback for the Seahawks next season?
I mean, we probably should find a coach first, but I mean,
you want to give your just way too early prediction or name? Yeah, just throw something out there.
Well, I mean, I said it last week. It's got to be Dan Quinn as a coach. I don't think you move on for Pete without a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got to be the guy that they were just circling, saying, hey, he's not going to be there next year. And, you know, we don't like, are we really going to sign at 74? I think Pete's going to be 73 or 74 after another year. Like, are we going to sign Pete to another 4 or 5 year deal? I don't know if that's happening. So that's what probably pushed the envelope. And I played for Dan Quinn. He's awesome. He's a guy that everybody wants to play for. I see where your eyes are going.
Was that last playoff game? Dallas playoff game didn't scare you?
Was that playoff game damning to his case?
I was all with you, and then I was watching that game. I started scratching his name out. Like, no, thank you.
Okay, first of all, and we'll get into that one, unless you want to just jump right to it, those playoff games. But I want to answer your question.
Yeah.
Geno is still the guy going forward. Yeah. I believe there's an option on his year for this year, and I expect them to pick it up. But now this all comes back to what I'm saying is, does the head coach, is he on board with it? Like, he's going to have to look at the film and evaluate every single player
mm-hmm.
with John and go back and give his honest assessment on how they performed. And with how Geno performed, I have no problems with him being the quarterback. I don't see a solution out there in terms of other replacements. And good luck getting a kid that's ready to play from college.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, other than Stroud, and that's not just Stroud, that's everything they put around him. They have like seven receivers down there. They lost Tank Dell, Noah Brown's out, and they got Woods and two or three other guys that are just going off for 150-yard games. And it's like, now part of that is Stroud and the coaching, though. But I can't name any other rookie quarterback that came in and did that recently.
Yeah, I don't. And also, I know there's a lot of Seahawks fans out there. Maybe I shock a lot of people with this hot take, because I'm sure McNeil sees it on the dark recesses of the internet that I see as well. But all this Mike Penix to Seattle type stuff. Listen, I like Mike. I loved Mike in college. But when Mike gets pressured, I don't know, and it's the NFL and it's not college and early quarterbacks, and oh my gosh, I don't know if I want to go down this route as a fan. It's going to be fun to talk about, but I like steady. I mean, I like what Jordan Love and the Packers are doing. I mean, because he had to sit behind Aaron had to sit behind Brett, and it's going pretty well. So if we could do a little bit of that, I like that route a little better than just, you know, picking Caleb. You know, they wouldn't get Caleb anyway, but you know what I mean. Trying to find the savior in the draft.
The Green Bay Packers are the one organization that did it right
mm-hmm.
both times.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, I mean, Aaron sat for 4 years, Love sat for 4 or 5. And I know it's got to be incredibly maddening to be in that position as a competitor. You know, you're just like, why, you know, just trade me.
Right.
Let me get out there and play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but watch, look at the success they've had. I mean, if they go to another place, do they have that kind of success? I mean, Aaron had all the talent and he's smart, but you don't know if they just throw him into the fire. Like, oh, look at Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
All right. I've been saying for years, he's a decent quarterback, because everybody just wants to bash him when anytime there's a bad 2-interception game or anything, or more for his off field.
He does that to himself. Yeah. Like, that's, people like to take shots because he's loud and yeah.
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 Yeah. But yeah. I mean, if there's a guy like that went through everything, I mean, this dude was a walk-on, transferred, won the Heisman. Like, he's been through it all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I've been rooting for him since the day he got drafted. And he went to Cleveland, they threw him in the fire right away. And even a Heisman Trophy winner, like, maybe Caleb might not do well in his first year. And then with the press conferences that he had, the last few press conferences he had at SC, like, you can't do that in the NFL. Every media outlet and city will rip you apart.
Mm-hmm. If the Green Bay thing, it feels very Midwestern. It feels very, what do you call people from Wisconsin? Wisconsinites? Wisconsiners?
Wisconsinites.
Wisconsinites? I don't know. It feels very Midwestern, a very Midwestern way to run your football team. Just very measured, very calm, very, you know, just like nice. Very, hi, we drafted you. Come on in. Sit down for a while. Don't worry. We love you. We love you. We're going to bake you some casseroles. You know, we'll bring you some desserts. You're going to be just fine because don't worry. Someday you'll get in there and boy, will we love you then. But right now, you know, and they just kind of, aw, shucks, we're going to take care of you. But it works, man. It works. And I don't know who's in this draft or even whatever. Like, I don't trust that. So, yeah.
I like Penix. He is 24 years old. He's been in college for 6 years.
True.
I would hope he would whoop on some 20-year-olds from around the league.
I mean, other than the last game, they kept him pretty clean, too. You know, he didn't take a lot of shots.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you're going to hold that last performance against Dan Quinn, you got to hold that last performance against Penix.
I do. I
mean, they were open guys.
Yeah.
Rome Odunze was wide open on that. It was a go route, and he was protecting him from the safety. But Odunze had him beat by that that angle. And
oh, yeah, there's a couple. That
inside.
Yeah, lots of missed opportunities. Yep.
Yeah, so, I keep seeing these organizations draft a kid young and just throw him in a horrible situation. Now, we have a good situation if we're healthy up front offensively because we still have weapons on the offense, two great running backs. But that was the thing. We weren't healthy in there all season. After that first game, we lost both our tackles.
Yeah. Well, I know.
You know?
Well, and anytime someone new comes in, there's a lot of shifting that's going to go around. I mean, it just – that's how it goes. You know, this roster won't even it won't look
exactly
even close to – yeah. It's an opportunity, but it's an opportunity to refresh, though, isn't it, too? I mean, John and then Pete's still there, and they've got to be looking at it as, like, it's just it's a chance to hit the refresh button on a lot of things, you know? Why not? Like, I used to go to, like, these, like, theater things and acting things growing up, and it's like there were certain things that I'd go to every year, but every year they'd make you re-audition, you know? And it's like, oh, I thought I had this gig. And they're like, no, you got to come prove it again, you know? And so hopefully, and so you'd hit it with that sort of like intention and you'd see the people that didn't. And so hopefully some players are going to come back and have a really great audition. And, you know, some, you know, probably will be
I don't see a ton of like wholesale changes. There are some decisions to make. Bobby going his 13th year, he's a free agent. Jamal Adams, can he stay healthy? You know, I don't know where they're at the contract there.
I think it's got to be McNeil could even jump in here on the Jamal Adams one because there's so much off the field that I don't even really get into. But I feel like off on the field or off the field, I feel like the Jamal Adams thing has got to have run its course at this point a little bit. Doesn't McNeil? What do you think?
I mean, I think he's a good player, but
right.
I think he just has horrible luck.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. But. No, I've been there before, man. Didn't miss a fucking snap of practice for 3 years and then just fucking injury after injury after surgery after concussion. It's a shitstorm.
Ugh. Yeah. Well, what about the teams that are still playing? The Eagles, boy. Oh, my gosh. Tailspin, pun intended. Just couldn't get off the ground. I could keep going.
They were not flying Delta. That's where you should have went with that one.
Just not cleared for takeoff.
That was ugly. I don't know what happened to their offense. Hurts had no time to throw the ball. They don't run the ball. It looked nothing like the team that went to the Super Bowl just 12 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Guys running wide open. Rashard White just taking it's like an ISO, like 20 yards. And no one like there to like fill the gap. I don't know what happened to them.
They lost 5 of the last 6. Is it Sirianni? Like, is it the dude? Is it the players? Is it started to go south and they sort of it's this new sort of personality like we're talking about where it's just sort of can't get over the bad times or whatever. I don't know what's up.
When you lose the Super Bowl, I mean it was the Super Bowl curse that the losing team didn't go back forever, and it's just it's such a long season, right? That it takes everything and everybody just to make it to the playoffs. So, you know, I commend them for that because I've been there before. When we lost in 05, we went back in 06. But it's a long, long season when you make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. What else? The Chiefs? The Chiefs.
Yeah. They're turning it on, right? This is the team, and this is what I was talking about the last couple of episodes when we were wondering if they make the playoffs. They have the experience, and so they're leaning on that. And then I'm sure the weather played a factor. I know both teams have to play in it, but they're used to it, and Miami is used to 75 and sunny this time of year. So that definitely played a factor. But they showed up 26-7, looking at it now. And, after like that first, second quarter, it wasn't even a game. Mm-hmm. It was just a matter of the time running out. They showed up. That defense has held them all year. And to only give up 7 to one of the most high-powered offense, that was a good performance.
Producer Katie's raising her hand.
Interesting fact about the Chiefs versus Miami game.
Okay.
It is the most streamed live event in United States history, averaged 23 million viewers, and it reportedly accounted for 30% of the country's internet traffic.
Yeah, I scoff at this. I saw this. Mike Tirico was all over this one on the NBC broadcast because NBC is tied to Peacock, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, it's the most streamed event ever. Listen, this is like trying to get credit for being, like you're an NBA guy at a world's tallest man competition. Like, hello, you put a full NFL game on a streamer and that's the only way people could watch it. Of course it's the most streamed internet event of all time.
30% of all of the internet. 30% of all of the internet.
Held them hostage.
Exactly.
Katie.
Like,
step into our office, producer Katie.
Yeah. This is like, file this one. I wanted to just jump through the TV, and you can even tell Tirico was reading it. Like, just, I want to file this under no duh. Like, all right. Yeah. A big W for you. You put it on your network. Look, if Apple would have done it, if Netflix would have done it, and Peacock, Amazon. Nobody has Peacock. Listen, Peacock, congratulations. Everyone signed up for a free trial. Good for you. Good for you. You got everyone's email address. That's awesome. Good for you guys. No, but my friends and I couldn't just stop. We just couldn't stop making fun of the Mahomes helmet thing because he cracked his helmet. On a play, which it was so cold out there. And so he took a shot. And then the helmet was all cracked and they had to get him a new helmet. And when they were getting him the new helmet, it forced all of us to talk about how silly he looks in his helmet anyway. And then all of us just started making fun of him the rest of the game because he looks so silly in his helmet. I don't know. Mahomes has always looked ridiculous. And it's always rides high. It's weird looking. And a couple... Lofa, I was watching the game with a couple of former D1 players, actually, and they were all just ripping him. They're like, dude might be one of the best quarterbacks of all time, but all his photos from him playing, he looks ridiculous. Like, he just doesn't.
I had to wear the Revolution helmet one time. And
is that the one with the mutton chops?
It's the weird one that, like, kind of comes down and around. I caught a lot of shit from that.
Peyton's helmet.
Then it's I switched back to the old Rydell.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. A lot of judgment.
What about the Texans, my man?
Okay. Yeah, let's get into it.
Did you catch that one?
Yeah, dude. They're looking good, man. And like, you kind of touched on it. He's looking good. Good coaching. I'm rooting for him. I was rooting for Flacco because you got to root for the old guy. But, it's Cleveland, so you knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, but I'm just impressed with all these injuries that, Stroud's had. Got to have like 8 different receivers. And Dalton Schultz, John Metchie, Jordan, Nico Collins, Woods. He's still finding a way. It doesn't matter who's in there. He's finding a way to get them the ball. And they're explosive, man.
Yeah.
And this is without Tank Dell, that other rookie that they got in the third round from Houston, beast. So But the defense holding Flacco, scoring twice, two interceptions, two pick six, and then holding them to 14, that was one of the more dangerous offense the last probably month of the season. And to do that, good for D'Amico Ryans and,
dude,
and Houston.
Oh, hell yeah. Shout out. I see, I was watching that game and I was thinking about our coaching search. And I just thought, like, this is what I want. I want a defensive guy who was a beast in the playing days, who can get these kids to be beasts themselves and motivate everyone. And like this, I was just sitting there dreaming about the, like, that's what I want in a coach. I don't want, I mean, unless they just win a bunch of games, then of course this is what I want. But I did like this new sort of head coach is sort of like the sort of football nerd head coach. I don't.
Can't get on board with that.
Nah. You know what I mean? Like, nah. No.
Well, I mean, you look at it. Vrabel, former player. D'Amico Ryans, former player.
But the right
Antonio
kind of
Pierce.
Player.
Yeah.
The right
Antonio
kind of
Pierce.
Player. Yeah, Antonio Pierce. Yes.
Super Bowl champion. Mm-hmm. Gerard Mayo, Super Bowl champion. So, like, they've been to the mountaintop, right?
And playing the correct position. But former players who played this position I'm talking about, dude, you know what I'm talking about. Like, I want hard-nosed, tough. And they were that way as a player, and then they're going to be that way as a coach. I mean, Dan Campbell played offense, but like that kind of guy.
Campbell.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I want.
So, I mean, it's trending in that direction. And who better than the guy that's been in that locker room, been in the circle, and led those teams as a player? I mean, he knows what it looks like. Mm-hmm. So, I could definitely see a trend continuing to go. And, you know, Chris Richard, who's had a lot of success as a coordinator – that's a name that, you know, comes to mind. Jeff Obrick, coordinator over at the Jets.
Okay.
Even everything they've went through, he's had that held that defense steady.
Still number one defense, yeah. They just didn't have any offense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I could see the league trending in this direction. And basketball has been like that, you know. Steve Kerr, they have a lot of guys that, you know, played and then coaching. Chauncey Billups coaching the Blazers now. Yeah, I think it's a good fit.
I think we got to get back to the future a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, just we thought we had the names there this year. It just didn't really gel together on defense. The fan base wants to root for defense. That's what we're known for. I think it's, you know, yeah, let's go. Let's go, Seahawks. Anything else from around the league before we get out of here? Katie,
I was surprised by that Lions. I thought the Rams were going to pull that out.
I just like that it was the best game of the whole thing. These games weren't very good, to be honest.
It was the only one that was close.
Yeah.
Everything else was like two or three scores.
But even at the end, they got their first down and then just put a knee on it. It was sort of anticlimactic, even though
very
it was a one. It was kind of the most anticlimactic 1-point game I've ever seen, actually. Unless you're a Lions fan, of course. And shout out to those fans.
Happy.
By the way, shout out to those fans, dude. They stayed for so long after. They were cheering. They're a long-suffering fan base, and good for them.
Yeah.
No, I'm bitter, but good for them.
You want to look at this week's matchups? Anything you're circling?
Go for it.
I think the Buccaneers are going to beat the Lions.
I think so, too.
Oh, okay. I guess we hit that then.
Yeah, we got that one. I thought that's it. No, I'm just saying I said it that way because that was my first impression. I saw that matchup. I thought, nah, they got him.
I thought you were going the other way with your love fest for the Lions right now. So you got me on that one. Okay.
No, they're the Lions. Dude, at the end of the day, they're the Lions. Come on.
I was happy for Jared Goff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm happy for both, you know, the team that shipped him. Then they go and win the Super Bowl. You know, it's been up and down for him, but I was really happy for him and Baker Mayfield.
I was also, you know, just stay on the lines, though. I was also weirdly happy for Stafford because he was throwing dimes. I'm no Rams fan, of course, but, man, he was playing his butt off. And Puka Nacua, I mean, there's a Husky we missed on. Oh, like, just anyone could have taken that guy. How many teams are just like, oh, really? What? Oh, they all
passing
missed.
Passing on him five times.
Everybody had a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the real deal.
Yeah, he is.
Great routes, unbelievable hands. Mm. And we have to see him twice a year from now on, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Who you got in the Texans Ravens?
Oh, Ravens. Ravens.
Really? Not even thinking about it?
That defense. That defense. Texans will be riding high. I mean, it'll be a good game. I think it'll be a really good game. But, you know, the young Texans, they'll be feeling themselves, and I think the Ravens will be like, they have old man strength, you know?
Welcome to the playoffs. Yeah.
Like, remember when you'd go play basketball at the Y, and there'd be a guy with, like, two knee braces on, you know, and you're shooting around, and you're like, oh, I'll take him. But then he's burning you all day.
And, yeah, I'm that guy.
He, of course, has that, like, set shot. He's got his spot, you know? Yeah. Boxes you out on rebounds. Yeah.
My only concern is that they're just, you know, still celebrating that win from last week.
Right.
But the fact that they did it so convincingly, they have a chance, man.
Oh yeah.
I'm still Ravens at home is tough to go against, man, especially a week of rest, which they needed. And I saw Mark Andrews is back. He was at least practicing. I don't know if he's going to make the game, but yeah, dude, that's a tough matchup. And they got Cook. They picked up Dalvin Cook for the playoffs. As if they needed any more help. You know.
I saw that. I was like, it just made me chuckle because, yeah, that's just really funny. Oh, I just casually pick up a big piece here.
Okay.
Right when we
Pack Niners. Who you got? Packers versus the Niners.
It's going to be hard to watch. But the Niners had to be sitting back this weekend just thinking, okay, so. The path here is, you're telling me the path is Packers, Bucks.
Bucks or Lions?
Lions. Like, come on. You know. Like, we beat the Lions in Detroit.
In Detroit. Yeah. I don't think this one's going to even be close.
If the Niners don't do it this year, we as Seahawks fans should never stop making fun of them.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
This is the NFC Championship. I don't think either of those other two teams go into Santa Clara and win.
Right.
So they get by the Packers. I mean, they'll be in the Super Bowl with whoever makes it out of the AFC.
Well, then they can lose to the Ravens again. And maybe there's no power outage this time. Remember that game?
All right, Chiefs Bills, before we get out of here, who you got?
Give me the Bills, finally. Give me the Bills.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. I'm going Chiefs.
Okay. Give me the Bills. Yeah. Well, send Travis Kelce on his engagement tour early.
Oh.
Him and Taylor can finally post that photo of them getting engaged on the beach in Cabo. It happened a couple... My sources tell me it happened a couple weeks ago.
Oh, really?
They're just waiting to post the photo.
Yeah, you can't do it during playoffs.
No. Gotta wait.
No.
Oh, it happened.
No.
Oh, it already happened. My sources tell me they've been engaged for weeks already. Adam Schefter has reported.
No.
Yeah.
Ooh, they played earlier. They played in December. In Kansas City, Bills won 2017. I'm still going Chiefs. Experience.
Yeah, you That's can't. You it's hard to bet against time. Mahomes. Yeah.
Yeah. Kelce will turn it on right now too. I can't wait though. It's an exciting weekend. Much more than last week.
I got love for Mahomes. I always did. Then I saw the quarterback show. It started to slip a little bit. Now he whines a lot now. He's starting to kind of wear thin on my nerves a little bit. I mean, his football play is really the only thing keeping him in there for me. Because the just shots of him on the sideline, and he's always yelling, and I can tell it's his high-pitched voice, and he's starting to really wear on me. Starting to wear on me. Starting to really wear on me.
Give me everything you got! I heard you, Katie. That was amazing.
It's our show today. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week. Talk some more playoffs. Thank you to Delta, EpicSeats.com, SimplySeattle.com, PackBack. You know, use our promo code TAKE12 on all those things. Lofa, break us down here. Take us through it.
You need to break us down. I'm at a loss for words. We don't even have a coach.
Well, you pick us up. Here. One of my teams that I root for has a coach, so I got to go visors up on three. Visors up on me. One, two, three. Visors up. Made that up.
Visors up.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.